Really don't mind if you sit this one out.
And yes, that is the beautiful works of Jethro Tull, or someone like Jethro Tull. And in honor of that, we have tickets for the Fox Theater. Going to give away now to caller, let's see, it's Ian, written and performed by Ian Anderson, Saturday, April 16th. That's this Saturday at the Fox Theater. Jethro Tull tribute at the Fox Theater. If you would like tickets to go see that, call us now at 404-367-WGST. You can figure that out. Just spell it on your phone. For those of you kids that don't have phones that spell, well, you probably don't know who Jethro Tull is anyway, so it'll be okay. With that, someone who I'm sure knows all about Jethro Tull and so much more, my good friend George Cheedy, I believe, is joining us on the phone now. George,
here
you there?
I am.
Awesome. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. I'm having an interesting day. I'm actually calling you from Hope Atlanta, which is a homelessness service organization in a downtown. And I'm mentioning Hope Atlanta because they do extraordinary work with very difficult people, and they need support. So if you're looking for someone to help, start there.
Well, you know, John and I are going to go to Republican County Conventions this Saturday, and we'll be dealing with some very difficult people that need help. So do you think any of these skills are transferable?
Some of them. Especially if you need to figure out how to get people to live and work without killing one another in the same place, this would be a good place to learn that lesson.
I will get our sergeant-at-arms down there at once so that he can learn some of these valuable skills. But I appreciate the shout-out for them, George. I know you do a lot of work with the city and region's homeless and trying to figure out solutions. And, you know, having spent some time with some homeless ministries at a church I attended, it's, you know, when you get outside of the just bring the meals and go away, but start trying to understand the root causes of the problem. And it's not just one problem. There's a variety of types of homeless people and causes. Then you really start to understand that some people you can save from the situation, some you're basically treating, I guess, is might be one way to put it. But that's not what we actually had you on to talk about today, although we could probably do a full segment on that for some of our listeners that might want to understand those differences. But you've written a really good series this week that kind of helps try to explain DeKalb County politics and how DeKalb got sort of where it is, where there are times where it kind of like looks like the homeless situation. Maybe there's just not some solution, but then you start breaking it down. So you kind of use the reelection campaign of, I believe, Sharon Barnes Sutton as kind of the backdrop to kind of describe the symptom of what really is the problem or group of problems, the catechation of events that kind of have led DeKalb to where it is. Is that kind of a fair way to describe how you approached it?
I think so. I mean, what I wanted to do is take a look at, I mean, everybody says, all right, DeKalb is screwed up. And nobody, at least that I've seen, has explained sort of plainly, all right, well, here's what screwed up actually looks like, and here's why, and here's how it gets fixed broadly. And part of this is basically, we're at a point where enough people have all been pissed off all at the same time and all by the same entity for them to create the sort of the political structures that are necessary for reform. Like the madness of DeKalb politics has created its own destruction. And I think that's what I'm staring at right now. Sharon Barnes Sutton, who is the commissioner for the middle fifth or so of DeKalb County, is a legend for how much destruction she has wrought to DeKalb's reputation politically. And I mean, she's just managed to alienate everybody all at once, all in the same time. And it reminds me of how DeKalb rejected Cynthia McKinney, actually. Things just got to a point where the world was like, all right, it's enough, and everybody sort of rose up all at once.
Do you see coalitions? Because there are a lot of Republicans credited for crossing over to vote in a Democratic race to ultimately defeat Cynthia McKinney. Do you sense that this is a bipartisan coalition, or is it more of Democrats, if you will, finally kind of saying we're going to police our own here?
Well, here's the thing. It is definitely Democratic-led. That much is clear. All the folks who are running Reform DeKalb are Democrats. All of the people who have been rising up in South Decatur, all of them are Democrats. There are Republicans who are involved. And those Republicans have been fairly low profile. The only thing that's really going on there is money, because there aren't enough Democrats. There aren't enough Republicans in her district to move an election one way or another. There just aren't. It's not so much that it's, you know, Republicans kicking in, although that's going to happen. It's that the grassroots organizations, the folks like PRISM, which is a group called Pride Rings Over Stone Mountain. They work on Memorial Drive to do revitalization and civic activity. I mean, this is just old school folks who've been living there for a long time and watched the deterioration of their community. They're the ones who are up in arms. You know, it's individual homeowners associations who haven't had a phone call returned. It's business groups and who haven't been able to get their phone calls returned. The very sort of the essence of governance, like at the local level, is returning phone calls and serving the constituency. And that basic act of political governance wasn't happening. So I actually think this is it. I actually think this is the one that tips things over.
And with that, as you said, take it back out to the bigger picture, because you kind of started as she was really more of a symptom of a problem, and you actually posit in, I think, your first piece that everyone assumes because DeKalb is corrupt, it's because there's a machine that keeps it corrupt. And you're actually saying, no, it's because there's a total vacuum of leadership. So the lucky person that happens to win an 8-person, lowly funded jump ball primary somehow wins a seat at the table of corruption, and that there's no machine to actually, shall we say, police the corruption. Back in the good old days of DeKalb County, you had strong figures like Emmanuel Maloof or someone that ran the whole county, and the trains ran on time, and you didn't have these problems. And now all of a sudden, there's not really, I mean, your CEO, I guess your former CEO, is in jail.
Yep.
Or at least awaiting, I don't remember what his actual status is.
He's no longer in jail. He's with good behavior, he is now free.
Well, there you go. Okay.
But yeah, he was convicted. And you're right. Like, my first piece, and this is the case, there hasn't been an incumbent voted out in DeKalb County in at least 20 years at the county commission level. And yeah, which is where the bread is baked, that the county commission hasn't voted, the voters haven't voted anybody out. The only time seats turned over is because somebody died, or somebody quit, or somebody ran for something else, or somebody got indicted. And that's the only reason that, and so it's always special elections, and special elections are low turnout, high activist-oriented elections, with like 8% turnout or 5% turnout, like you had with the District 5 race that just happened. And where you don't have a representative sample of folks who are voting in those elections at all. And so what you end up with is whoever can get like 500 votes, which is crazy. It's a crazy way to
I see this on the Republican side, and no one that knows you would accuse you of being a Republican, although that charge is probably flown given that you're trying to take out a Democrat incumbent there with this machine you're talking about. But
right.
I guess the question I'm asking, when you're saying the grassroots is rising up in these 5% elections, are you seeing finally at your level of grassroots and in local Democratic political circles, people realizing that the presidential election doesn't solve everything, whether they win or lose, and they actually have to spend some time at the state level and local level if they want what they want and none of what they don't, that the elections at every level matter now?
Right. I think so. And I think this last round of just the indictment of Burrell Ellis and that whole affair, and how some really basic local stuff fell apart. Zoning and planning decisions, appointments to boards, all sorts of other things just went haywire when Burrell Ellis was indicted and Lee May had a lead in order to go and do that job.
George, what do you see as the solution to this problem? I mean, we've watched DeKalb, ever since Emmanuel Maloof passed away, it's gotten worse. How do we improve it?
I think part of this here is that you're starting to see the strengthening of local organizations. And, you can at the top level, you can look at the incorporation movement with the incorporations of Dunwoody and Brookhaven and now Tucker and Stonecrest.
George, they're playing us out. You can't hear the music, but we can. So we ask you a long-winded question with the 30-second break. But I appreciate you joining us. You go take care of those folks down there at the center, and we'll have you back on soon. But appreciate you joining us on 640 WGST.